Blog Talk Radio.
Symbolism, but for real black power, we have time zones that crossed us out of a lot of this. So as we see, many are joined tonight on the paranoid phones are here, the Android phone people are here, the smartphone, the dumb phone, and we've even got some coming in tonight on the desktop. Some on the desktop, some in their laptops. And, of course, we got the vet people in the Ferrari that come in by drop top each and every week right here on Black Power Radio. So we just know that we got more show to go, but we got both of what you listen to your radio for. So we're just happy to be here at Black Power Radio. My. Y'all feel us good tonight. We had a time zone mixed up earlier, but we are black on point at this hour, and we're happy to be here for Black Power. So, for all of you that have tuned in tonight, we're just happy as hell that you chose Black Power Radio because you could have went to my nephew's bar mitzvah. You could have got there tonight. I'm over at the tennis match. I see the tennis people are here to get you, yeah. And then all of us, they ready at Black Power Radio. Well, that's good. So there's nobody leaving for tennis tonight. Yeah. Let's look down here. There's a guy that's, oh, yeah, the golf match. And they're going over to Augusta to get the green jacket. Yeah, well, nobody's leaving for the golf match. So, again, we're happy that you're tuned in right here at Black Power Radio. And we got Bo, of which you listen to Radio Pro. So let us rock the mic tonight right here on Black Power Radio. Thank you again for tuning in. We're trying to bring up the studio as we speak. You know, we're out here on the road in a place called Dallas, Texas. Somebody said it was banned, but it's like somebody bringing it back. Bring back Dallas. Oh, yes. They're bringing it live, too. And no Memorex. We promise there will be no Memorex tonight. Everything will be live. Somebody's escorting them out now. There was a group of Kumbaya folks right at the front when we came in. And I guess, yep, all the Kumbayas have been escorted out. So we're right here with some super Puritan Black Power Radio. And we're ready to rumble. Let's see what it takes to win your love for me tonight. I'm rocking it coast to coast and giving you a bow when you listen to Radio Folk. And my, y'all sure look good out there tonight on right here on Black Power Radio. We're rocking it coast to coast and see just what does it take to actually win your love for me. Oh, yeah, we are. Oh, yes, you are. You're live right here on Black Power Radio. I'll see what it takes. Some of you may have to call. Those that are trying to get me, you may have to call in on 202-550-8521 to get us because of the fact we're on road in the remote studio may not pick you up. So those wishing to tune in to Black Power Radio tonight, come on in and rock with us at 202-550-8521. Again, our telephone number is 202-550-8521. Let's see if we can get some response from that because we're live here in the studio on Black Power Radio. All right, we're already giving you more of what you listen to your radio for. Yes, 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 yes. We're the very best from the East, the West, the very best. You can put us to the test to see if we're the best. And we always pass the test, and we're the best. The best that ever did it right here at Black Power Radio. We're happy as hell that you came here tonight, and we're going to try to get the studio plugged in at phone number one. They're going to have to go black to another form to see if we can get them unlocked and bust that out. Right now they don't have, wow, okay, they're back connected. Let's see if we can connect the dots here, Black Power Radio. Here we are. Try one more time, y'all. Let's shoot and go for the gusto. For the gusto on Black Power Radio. All for one. And one for all. Let's rumble. Get ready to rumble here. Guess we got a little few more miles out from the studio. And it's having a problem with the signal. In Texas, none of your stuff work right. It's got a flag on Texas for whatever reason. And we're going to still rumble with you and attempt to give you more of what you listen to radio for, but it's going to take a lot of patience to get through this one for sure. Let's see, what does it take to win your love for me? We love you so much here at Black Power Radio, and we're working on a studio as we speak. We're hoping that we've gotten all that settled, everything will dust settled, the smoke had cleared, but nevertheless, we're experiencing a little studio issue right now because we had an hour difference, and we went as though we were on the East Coast, and we're actually in the central time zone, so that's accounting for why you can't get a signal here. So we'll see what we got to do. Let me see. We're going to tear down and go back and try to mount it back up. Let's see. Try one more time, y'all. We'll see. We'll rock it from coast to coast. Right here, Black Power Radio. Yes, we are. Here we are. Here we are, y'all. We're going to have to shut down and come all the way back up, Black Power. See, you got that part done, that part. And let's see what it takes. So for technical difficulty, we're going to have to pause to fix the studio problem, and we'll be back with you. Thank you, Black Power. Okay, alright. We are again appealing to you there. Those that are on the air that wish to speak, you can call 202-550-8521. Again, the telephone number is 202-550-8521. And anyone that wishes to talk on the Black History Pod of Memorial Day. And Memorial Day certainly has some Black history to it. From Nat Turner to Denmark Beast to Noble Cross. And from the famous guy, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, and all those famous people that memorialized the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, the Honorable Hashim Ekhanaten Nzinga, all of those that fought during the times of the Nat Turner Rebellion. Yes, he rebelled against the vicious system of injustice that made a choice to put us in the plantation enslavement. Enslavement is the worst torture the human being could undergo, and therefore, he told us it's impossible. You couldn't read, as the professor told us last night. They didn't even want you to have one red cent. If you or your children were caught with any form of money, even playing with money they may have found on the ground, they would torture them or have them lynched. And we're not out of the woods about this lynching thing yet. So we got a lot of unfinished business and reparations to be collected over this lynching of our people. And then they have, of course, the modern day lynching. We have a noble hero in fact, don't worry. But there are two men named Anthony Hill, and this, I think, is the most peculiar thing that I've ever investigated in my life. There are two men by the name of Anthony Hill, and both were injured in the Iraqi War, Desert Storm conflict. Both men went into the Iraqi War. They were injured in the Iraqi War. Both men returned to the United States, some people call the United Snakes of America. And once they returned, they were attacked by white nationalists. One in South Carolina, Anthony Hill, one, was executed. Some call it execution, but nevertheless, he was killed in South Carolina in a township called Newberry, South Carolina. Once they killed Anthony Hill, one, they shot and blew a portion of his head off, tied him up to a redneck's pickup, and just dragged Anthony Hill throughout the township of Newberry, South Carolina. Oddly enough, they're peculiar in its own self. They killed this man, dragged his brains and whatnot down the highway for 10, nearly 11 miles. That wasn't enough. They tortured him and then killed him and then dragged him in a modern-day lynching. That's Anthony Hill One, by a guy named Gregory Collins, a 150-pound white boy, took nearly a 300-pound black man and tortured him like that. Now, you know he couldn't do that by himself, to get him up on that truck and all of that. So I'm just here to tell you that a lot has been done to us, and things continue to be done to us. Anthony Hill Number Two was on Stone Mountain, Georgia, in Atlanta, and the police, I'm calling the police, came to some response on a call for a man behaving oddly, and he was Anthony Hill Number Two. And the police found this man naked and said he threatened the officer, and they killed him. Committed a police homicide was committed on Anthony Hill Number Two by a racist pig, executed Anthony Hill Number Two. And both men are in the district nearby James Clyburn, the James Clyburn district. The guy who hands all of the votes, he selects them and turns over the votes to Joe Biden. Some call him Joe Biden. And there you have the picture of what democracy looks like with the Democrat Party at this hour, Washington, D.C., South Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, with Dr. King. He preached from Stone Mountain, Georgia, all the way to the Alleghenies on up to the Red Hills of New Hampshire. He said, let freedom ring. Well, the fulfillment of the vision and the prophecy of the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has yet to be fulfilled. It has never been realized that in the history of Dr. King and in the history of the American KKK, the American history since Dr. King, they have sought to abandon the vision of the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and put in their own value systems separate from Dr. King, separate from Adam Clayton Powell, separate from Malcolm X, and all the ones that we knew from Shirley Chisholm to Barbara Jordan, from Barbara Jordan to Fannie Lou Hamer. They have chosen to abandon the family value systems of those things that have caused us to be successful at this hour. So I just say to you, Black Power, if you desire to talk on this air tonight, you must dial 202-550-8521. Again, 202-550-8521. As we take a pause for the cause, say my. Again, live in studio, and we have the Honorable Dr. Truth Bay, who is coming from L.A. and some other parts. But I know he's not under the deep lagoon, but he has facts to match tonight concerning the Black history of Memorial Day. And we started those facts off with Anthony Hill, one, and Anthony Hill, two, and we have a few more. But with that said, we want to bring Dr. Truth Bay live in his Black Power Studios. We have Dr. Truth Bay. Welcome to Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power at this hour, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, peace and Black Power, Black family. Happy Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day. We want to say to our soldiers out there, I want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for serving a country that didn't give a damn. about our black rights. But nonetheless, you fought for a cause, you had a heart, but overall, the real story of Memorial Day, how many of us really know what it really stood for? Now, Memorial Day became a national holiday in 1971, but it was originally called Decoration Day. Decoration Day honored the Civil War holidays and was ranging in Charleston, South Carolina. So while many people, former slaves of the Union, they were being held in a prisoner at a horse race course where at least 257 soldiers died, mainly because they were packed into this horse race. They were not honored, and definitely their bodies were dug up and reburied in a different memorial. But they don't really tell us the true story of why Memorial Day is so important. It usually ends at the last Monday of every month, and many cities claim to be the first ones to start Memorial Day. So one of the things that we want to look at, why were these soldiers not honored or given a headstone to begin with? The horrific conditions that the 250 bodies were captured were black workmen. They dug their bodies and reburied them properly. So David Blight, an American historian and a scholar who was credited to bringing the story of Memorial Day to light, there's about 10,000 people that led black children carrying armloads of all kinds of flowers, paraded through the racetrack, as many as could fit in a cemetery. We had black preachers. We had a choir singing. This was May 1st, 1865. And it still affects the original performance of Memorial Day. And it was created by African Americans. For those who think that Memorial Day simply was for the white soldiers that fought for their country, it was actually for the black soldiers who were not memorialized correctly. And so this is a critical part of the history of Memorial Day. And so we want to know if there's anyone on the line who has served and knows someone who has served in any type of war. See veterans today. We want to honor them. They are the most vulnerable population, and they are not given the respect due for the work that they served. This country has no type of variance, doesn't have any type of discrimination clause. It's just an equal opportunity racist country. But when it comes to our veterans and the black soldiers who have fought, they are to this day not considered human to even be given a proper memorial. So we want to say thanks to the soldiers who really want to take their energy and focus on the internal conflict at this why black soldiers are not being honored as they should be. Major Generals Alexander Logan in 1868. John Alexander Logan, he was a major general in the Union Army during the Civil War and the chief of the Grand Army of the Republican Fraternal Order of Civil. Now, his significance, a proclamation calling for the decoration annually for Memorial Day, was chosen to be May 30th. And that was the day, not only the anniversary of the major battle, but yet the graves of the fallen soldiers in 1868 were held in 183 cemeteries in 27 states, a role that John A. Logan, who was in addition to a major general in chief, was also a U.S. congressman and a U.S. He was a U.S. senator. Unsuccessful candidate for vice president, though, and created a day to decorate the grave wars. So John Alexander Logan, that name is a significant part of Memorial Day. And not only that, John Alexander Logan Jr., his son, was killed in combat November 11, 1899. So while leading his troops during the Philippine-American War, this is how he received the Medal of Honor. Yet, they still did not honor the Black fallen soldiers who fought in the Civil War. They were prisoners of the Union and not given due respect. So there are so many components to Memorial Day that makes you really think about how today's soldiers are being treated. So what is your thought on Memorial Day? Declaring it a holiday in 1971, is that something that we think will be accurate? Yeah. So Sheikh Imam Akbar is there. Do we have another connection to come in so we can chime in on Memorial Day?
Yes. The Black history of it all, from Nat Turner to Tim McGreevy and all of those from Noble Prosser to our Adam Clayton Powell, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and our beloved brother who was executed in a horrible fashion and then tortured and lynched. We must say, raise his name, the Honorable Louis Teal, because no one has raised that name in the time that we have been saying Ashe, when they do our rituals, and we raise the water for all of these ancestors, and we have never raised the water for our brother Louis Teal, and he was an activist, and he tried to snuff out his spirit, vilify him, and eventually tortured him and lynched him. This is a part of the Black history of Memorial Day, the elimination of Louis Teal and his name, and then suppressing that name for over 77 years, the U.S. government, the Italian government, and the NAACP, the Negro government, has been suppressing. These are the people that knew of these things and failed to update us, failed to give us the enrichment of that history would be salvation for many to know that this has been done. And now to know that it's been done and suppressed, all this, they owe us. They stole us. They sold us. And now they owe us. We would not allow them off the hook for the debt that has been incurred by the U.S. government and the corporations of America. They are in great debt to us. And we are not going to pussyfoot around with the opposition. We're not going to sing Kumbaya. We would not tiptoe through the tulips, but we would go there to check them in the midst of their weird form of iniquity in which they are now endowed. They have made a bad choice to F with us at this hour. I'm just telling you straight up. But we're going to bring that brother from the West Coast, the Double R. He's the only one that can straighten the record at this time. So we'd like to bring our brother live from L.A. in the Black Power Studios, Brother Double R, Black Power. Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. Thank you, Honorable.
Clear.
Yeah, True Bay. Good information. But if you just look at military, though, wise, we the baddest. You feel me? We did it with that one, the Civil War. We did it with the Tuskegee Airmen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we just, that war went to us. But however, they always like to shade us. to not lift us. If you look at all the statues that they've taken down now, they were some straight racist crackers. You feel me? So now all of a sudden they're starting to open up their eyes and to replace these statues and take these old racists down that had their hand into not acknowledging us. You know, I was supposed to go into the Navy in 84 when I graduated from high school. My thing to me, I told myself, I said, what if they send me to Africa or somewhere? I mean, of course, maybe you're on a ship, but this is me at 18 years old. And I got to fight somebody that look like me. Take my hat off to these soldiers who did their job because I just didn't have it in me. I got a barbershop, and I cut a lot of these cats here in Camp Pendleton and in San Diego, out there at Coronado and all that. And if you can listen and just hear how they say there's so much racism inside the military. A lot of us didn't get no good positions because of the white folk, because of our skin. You know, we had to stay in the kitchen. But then when they finally gave us stuff, like I said, the Tuskegee Airmen, we showed up and showed out. Like the Civil War, we showed up and showed out. But look, that's just America, man. But the thing is that a lot of times that we just have to put that past. And now, what's the solution and resolution to this? Of course it's reparations. Of course it's going to be all the atrocities in every single area. Every single area. And as I keep listening back at y'all, because I'm right here, I'm a student right now. I'm taking notes. You know, you guys is bringing up some good situations I didn't even know about. No, so I'm going to just sit back, listen. But like I say, everybody, black people, let's just let's form our own. Let's form our own and take that Article 5 to another stage. I yield black.
Black power, black power. Do you have a clip? Do you have a clip concerning Memorial Day? Let's just listen in. It's about 3 minutes. It gives us a clear story of what Memorial Day was all about concerning the 250 Civil War soldiers, who to this day, as I stated before, were not given proper recognition or burial. Let's listen in.
Is once a cemetery. So what if I told you that this place, Hampton Park, was once a cemetery, but not just any cemetery, one dedicated to more than 250 Civil War soldiers, which also just so happens to be home of the first ever Memorial Day ceremony.
They had a small children's choir sing, preachers preach.
Currently, you're listening to the voice of David Plight, who actually one of the most prolific historians that covered and uncovered the details of the first Memorial Day, the true history of Memorial Day.
Preached. So it was their way of dedicating not only the graves of the dead, but it was also their way of declaring the meaning of the Civil War and declaring, a federal union victory.
That's right. But back then, it was called Decoration Day. And over time, that name changed to Dedication Day. It wasn't until the 1960s when Memorial Day became the official name. But whatever you call it, it all started right here in Charleston, South Carolina. And we know about this important history because of this guy.
I was at Harvard University on a fellowship in the Houghton Library, and I was working in a collection of Union veterans' papers. One of the boxes in a file labeled the first Decoration Day, I found this story. It was about this parade that occurred on a horse track, a race course in Charleston, South Carolina, led by African-American former slaves in early May, 1865. And when I first read it, I really could hardly believe it. I thought, this is some old veteran making up something. He had nothing else to do, he was just recording it.
Back in 1865, photography was barely a thing. And obviously, there was no such thing as video. So here's what we think happened. Leading up to May 1st, dozens of black Charlestonians exhumed a mass grave of more than 250 men. They then dug individual graves into roads, building a 10-foot-tall white fence around them, with an archway overhead spelling out martyrs of the race course. And on the actual Declaration Day, it's estimated that 10,000 mostly formerly enslaved black people commemorated those lives with a parade. They sang hymns, decorated graves, had picnics, and watched Union troops perform marches and drills. It all sounds familiar, right?
I mean, imagine being part of that march that day on that old racetrack to suddenly have the power to be part of that parade. It's an event that can put you back inside the meaning of something much, much larger than just that one parade.
So why haven't we heard about it before?
Well, I think it's a classic case of how memory works, how public collective memory works. This was not a story white Charlestonians wanted to remember.
So you had groups like the Daughters of the Confederacy that includes people such as Mildred Rutherford down in Georgia and Mary Sue's old back here in South Carolina, who changed the narrative to eliminate any reference to the fact that the Civil War was largely over the issue of the continuation of slavery in the South. And basically, they taught pro-Confederate pseudo-histories and downplayed a lot of the war.
And who you're hearing now is David Forum. He's an African-American historian, and he's breaking down what others would not. David Quite, even though he was non-black, he was Caucasian, we need to hear from real black historians why, again, blacks were merely erased from the true history of Memorial Day, as in everything else we've been erased or tried to in the course of history.
Positive aspects of the African-American history, and unfortunately, the average person across the board mainly knows what they are told.
Now, I know what you're thinking. All of this happened so long ago. How do we even know if it's real? Well, historians fact-checked it.
You see, in history, we use a process that's called primary research. So, essentially, looking for primary sources is going through, looking for materials from as close to the event as possible, and seeing if there's multiple sources agree pretty much on the same fact. Then, more than likely, it's probably true.
In addition to the New York Tribune account, Black found an article in Harper's Weekly magazine. And with the help of the Avery Research Center for African American History and Culture that's based in Charleston, they found an article about the commemoration in the Charleston Daily Courier, dated May 1st, 1865.
This personal Memorial Day is just a microcosm. You know, it's a classic small example of a remarkable event.
Is this enough to hold you home?
Yeah.
Let's face it, that just got almost completely lost under the weight, ironically, of the lost cause.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Why don't you?
Charleston, South Carolina, the hotbed, and if you remember, is the location of probably one of the largest slave trades that happened to ever exist. Carolina not honoring the black soldiers, the Union soldiers that were kept in prisoners of war and kept on this horse track. Out of all places, the conditions were so deplorable, and yet they were forgotten. So thank goodness that we have 10,000 African-Americans who sought to give these soldiers a proper burial. And in that course, that is how Memorial Day became to be commemorated the right way, was based on few people who were tired of the wrong side of history being told, honoring the black fallen soldiers who not only built this country, but served and still were not given the same provisions when they returned home, even to this day. We have veterans now that are suffering from PTSD, that are homeless. Right here in California, you have the highest rate of homelessness, and many of them are veterans. So this country has proven itself over and over again that it is not here to give Black people any type of credit or any type of honor. This is one case why reparations for many of these governance policies. So what we have to do is continue to uplift our Black historians, our ancestors who did their best to really preserve the history of what we really did in this country. Now, Memorial Day shouldn't be only for the fallen soldiers. We have a lot of our young people to this day who are modern martyrs, I would say, in this racist society that contributed or tried to contribute to society and were let down or pushed back or killed color of their skin. So we have Lavelle Lane specifically also in South Carolina, who most recently was given no type of help in this system to the point where he became a martyr, uncovering the nastiness of Spartanburg and how they have treated its Black constituents. South Carolina is a state where we collectively want to give session and honor as a state for Blacks in its entirety, changing the laws there and really deprecating the racist system that causes the families there to suffer through immense hardship and discrimination. We couldn't continue to have others tell our story for us. We have young people every day, Black youth, that are subjugated to such hardships. And this is who we have to continue to remember on this day. Not just our fallen soldiers, but Memorial Day should be every day for us. And as we see parades and we participate in barbecues and spend time with family, we should always remember those who paved the way for us in order for us to even have some sort of freedoms. But we know that freedom is still a long ways ahead because we are not truly free. We are constantly being subjugated to police brutality, mass incarceration, rampant homelessness. These are just a few of the cases that where we as Blacks continue to struggle. So if anyone likes to give any homage or remembrance on this day, this is what we must do. Every day you always tell a story of an ancestor that built this way, and each one teach one. Continue to keep their legacies alive by honoring those who have never been honored in such a way. And for our Black soldiers in the Union Army that thought they were fighting for a good cause, quickly that former slaves or slaves at that time were never really free. Black power.
Black power!
Black power, black power.
Are we live and living blackness?
Black power.
Oh, we got Black Power Radio on, y'all. What up? The National Minister of Defense, better known as your Black Revolutionary Voice of the People, Black Lightning. I'm in his house. Hold on. Oh, I hope y'all don't mind. But wait a minute. Put a little music on in the background.
Here we go. Can I hit this? I'm usually quite reserved. I try to hold it all in. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, I got a gangster pen. I'm down and ready to ride like a long-lost friend. You know, reparations now. Hey, I'm going to stop right here and slam on the brakes before the fate come out and make it a debate. Reparations now. They just can't wait to take a cup of the love and the brotherhood and fill it up with hate. We kill each other over color. So don't play. We kill each other up, and so do they. At the detention center every day. Black power. Reparations now. Before we get forewarned and the poor get scorned, but they gladly give it all away. Salute Abdullah. A hungry baby is born in Tent City, mangers every day. Huh. David Starr sits above the land waiting to lead the way. Reparations now, black power. In the distance, cries crash through the truth to the lies and realize black revolutionary messiah will surely rise. Reparations now. Black power. Reparations now. Black power. And I just want to keep it on the one. Say everybody hit up $77 Bacon because we had a tragic mishap happening to our Black Panther van. But we're still looking for that bus for us, y'all. So $77 Bacon and hashtag bus for us fund and black power, I'll be black.
Black power. And we thank all of you for making your contributions tonight. And there are many, many others that you would like to memorialize or mention. We say Ashe. We're pouring out the truth of that person and restoring them in their rightful place in the history. When we mention those names that you have not frequently heard, such as Louis Teal, and we don't hear enough of Emmett Teal in the prayer circles. When we pour out your libations and perform your rituals, and then you have to bring up your mother, father, that are sisters, brothers, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. So someone should symbolically bring it. The one that you have that both to, I guess whoever's first on the mic, Dr. Truth, maybe you could bring one of your people for libations and explain the history and why you want to pour libations to them. Thank you.
She may be muted.
Are you muted, Dr. Truth? Dr. Truth, are you muted? Can we try to get you to the mic? Or Double R, can you give one of yours for libations or pour some water up for somebody that came across your network that hadn't been mentioned? We'd like to mention them tonight. The unsung hero list and pour some libations for them. Come right ahead. Right there with Double R. Are you still there?
Black power. That's just my uncle. He shined, you know, man. He was a helicopter pilot. You know, he did his thing, and my brother served. No, but a lot of people, just listen. A lot of you ex-military people and me cut a lot of ex-military. They didn't even know about VA. They didn't even know about they can get help and get this $3,000 a month. And then another $1,800 just to go to school. Y'all got to go and check in, all you military people, when you get out. Because white folk getting it once they get out. My brother didn't get it. He was out of service for about 40 years before he put his paperwork in. Didn't even know. You know, so y'all put your paperwork in, because when you put your paperwork in, that's when you get your money. That's when they start. They don't start for when you get out. They start when you put that paperwork in. That's the government. But another thing, I cut some military people too. They say that I cut this one brother. He was in both of Vietnam, served two terms. He had Agent R. They tried to give him some medicine. The medicine was changing his stool and everything, just made him sick. You got to understand this too. When they give you that dope, don't take it. Because what the military try to do is they try to kill off everybody so they ain't got to pay them that $3,000 or $5,000 or $4,800 a month. You know what I'm saying? And because once he stopped taking the medicine, he got better. So we just got to watch how wicked they are. If they can be wicked to us, they can be wicked to their people too. And not just black soldiers. It's to all the soldiers. So watch that military, man. But go get your money. Are you a black?
Yeah, pulling some out for my great 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 grandfather Goyakla. Used to do many raids on villages and forts, and then run back to the reservation, and then let's see, what's the name, Colonel Cook, I think Colonel Cook. Yeah, they chased him down into Mexico. We start raiding down to Mexico and come back and say, we was here the whole time. So I pour some out for Goyakla, like power.
Black power, black power. Yeah, ready to pass it around on the ancestors and the unsung hero moment here for those nobody else. I'll offer the name Army Q Willis, my great-grandfather and my grandfather fought against the unrighteous. They were clearly for the righteous. And Almighty God raised both of them, Army Q Willis and Cupid Willis. My grandfathers were men soldiers that fought against the opposition and put their lives on the front line. Went on and killed the enemy and won us an amount of freedom. The less of the freedom fight that's on me because of my direct lineage, my direct blood ancestors from Nat Turner to the Jack Yates. You need to Google Jack Yates, my great uncle, and then you'll start seeing why there's so much freedom fight in me because of my ancestry. And we'll pour up some libations for the Honorable Cupid Willis. Black power. On this Memorial Day weekend, we are taking time to give recognition to those who fought in the Black history. And yet they were probably memorialized at some point, and some don't have a headstone, as Dr. Truth Bay was teaching earlier. And you just have to realize people who don't want you to have one red cent, that want you to sit on a separate park bench, want you to have a separate voting system, and a separate seat on the bus, that they don't want you to have life more abundantly. And this is life in the pursuit of happiness. They just don't want to share anything with you because they feel they are exclusive and they are putting everything in place for the preservation of the white man's lifestyle. The degenerates have gotten too much power here in the West. And I'll land my plane there. It's too much power with that man.
Try it. There is a significant point of Memorial Day that have not been mentioned. We do the main one, which we have been speaking about since the inception, was the 1865 in Charleston, South Carolina, where the Black population held a parade. To honor the 250 that were dead Union soldiers. But another portion a lot of people may not remember is Columbus, Georgia. The National Cemetery Administration, which is a Department of Veteran Affairs. Now, Department of Veteran Affairs is a whole different animal, a whole different beast. You know, this is where majority of our people who have served in the military, as Double R mentioned, a lot of them did not receive their benefits, you know, partly because, yeah, the paperwork that they did fill out, it was not honored as it was for non-black soldiers. In general, a lot of black veterans are still getting the runaround for their health care. That is a huge issue that to this day, many of our military vets are going through. And this is what increases a lot of the stress. And, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, especially for those who have been in the war and seen many of the opposition killed in combat right in front of them, on a daily basis, traumatize them when they return back home. And so, again, yeah, we definitely need to check in with our veterans, especially our senior veterans who fought in the earlier war, either Korean War and up. They need special recognition and attention because they did have the courage and the heart to think at the time that they were fighting for a country that cared about them, but quickly soon learned that wasn't the case. So in Columbus, Georgia, there was a group of women that began to hold the Memorial Day services in the South. And these women were the Ladies Memorial Association of Columbus. They represented by Mary Ann Williams, who was married to Charles Williams, an association secretary, wrote an open letter in March 11th. And this was intended, nonetheless, to really bleed the plight of honoring their men. Now, know that these ladies, Memorial Association, they were wives of the Confederate Army. And you already know what that means. You know, they were in several instances back in April 1866. They had a holiday observed, and they were primary in trying to make this a national holiday. But again, they were not there to really honor the black fallen soldiers. They were there to observe and to commemorate the white soldiers at the time. So the Ladies Memorial Association, also known as LMA, did a good job in spreading the word and really trying to erase black history during Memorial Day. Confederate Memorial Day is what they really pushed. And this was publicized for over 300,000 Confederate soldiers that they wanted to honor. And of course, like I say, zero of them were black. Then you have Columbus, Mississippi, where the women there also gathered together and decorate the graves of the Confederate soldiers. And then you have Gettysburg, Pennsylvania in 1863 that included the commemoration of the dead soldiers there. And this was, some have therefore claimed, President Abraham Lincoln, who was the founder of Memorial Day due to the Emancipation Proclamation that he has served. However, there are some journalists in Chicago that state that Lincoln's honor for this day was ill-advised. So, again, more deterrence and distraction of the real soldiers, the black soldiers who have fought and bled for this country, even though at the time, they were still considered property. And so there are many other instances that led up to Memorial Day that was changed to the last Monday of the month. Memorial Day really is May 11th, but again, the federal government wanted to make it a 3-day holiday. And many had opposition to that. But, you know, what the government wants to do, they'll do. So it was officially changed 1979 to the third Monday of, the last Monday of every month to make it a three-day holiday. And that, again, made it leisurely. It really watered down the main issue of what Memorial Day really should have stood for. Just like Juneteenth coming up, Juneteenth was made into a federal holiday, and it was made to where it ends at the weekend, so that way those federal agents and everybody else can enjoy an extra 3 days and not really remembering the reason for Juneteenth. But we are going to change all that when it comes to commemorating who we are. So on Saturday, June 17th, right here in Los Angeles, we will have a special Juneteenth Resolution Day where we will be working on solutions and debuting legislation for our Black people and a march on Washington that we're preparing as well. We want to commemorate many of our current activists, those who are movers and shakers, to really push forth the idea of reparations actually becoming a reality. One of the main people that will be sponsoring this event is National Black Wall Street Project, spearheaded by Tony Pierce, and gathering together where we have like minds, specifically investors and pastors, community activists that come together that could just eat barbecue and have watermelon, soda, all that is great. But on that day, Saturday, June 17th, at First AME Church, that is where we're going to be bringing up solutions concerning reparations. And what we want to do is to have an official political party for our Black people, especially descendants of slaves, to reinstate the Freedmen's Bureau, as well as initiate an anti-Black hate crime bill, amongst few. Also, land obtaining property that was stolen from us, one of our main factors to obtain and build our own clinics and schools and institutions. That is the ultimate goal. And then money, monetary value, is also our main focus when all is said and done. To decrease the wealth gap is the ultimate goal. As we know, Black families have less than probably $24,000 a year annual income, whereas the average white family have well over $160,000 per annual income. Stark difference, and our main purpose is to narrow that down. Now, how many years that'll take to them, but how many years will it take for us? It's something that we are requesting to push for now. That's right now, not 5 years or 10 years from now. It's to move forth and repair the damage that this country has caused specifically for us as descendants of slaves. So save the day, Saturday, June 17th in Los Angeles. And on July 21st, we will also have our second day of solutions and resolutions. And this is not a one-day affair, Black Problems. Reparations is not something ultimately that we're waiting for anyone to give the final decision, but we the people must step forth with our plan of action and disseminate it to our Black families. We the people are the ones that have the power. See, this country, as we know, does not believe in democracy. There is no such thing as democracy when it comes to England or France, the United States. None of that matters. Democracy is a myth. It is a dictatorship that we have been living in as we see. So what are you going to do to change that, Black family? I mean, being proactive. That's the only thing we can do. Every day we plan and organize and execute missions to really educate our people concerning what reparations really is. Reparations is not another study. It's not a myth. But we have to do our due diligence and really set forth, what do we want as reparations? Have you done your research? Have you traced your lineage? Have you looked into your family history? You want to write a synopsis concerning your lineage? That's one way to be proactive in this reparations fight. And then once we come together, October 16th, 2023, in Washington, D.C., we are planning to have 50 million families who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They demand their voting rights, that they're going to exercise it to the fullest. And that's what we plan to do. So we say no reparations in 2023, no votes in 2024. Ain't that right, National Chairman? No reparations in 2023. No vote in 2024. So what is your ideology on reparations? What is your thought process of how we carry this out? The choice is yours. You can log on to the newblackpantherparty.com, 1percentage.org. to take a look into reparations in its entirety and the plan of action of how you can participate in making this a reality. So don't believe the hype, Black family. Don't believe the media, all these dollar signs that's been thrown here and there. The closest that we have to a response is $5 million per resident, per descendant of slaves, and this is a federal matter. There's nothing that the state that we live in can do. They ultimately have to focus on the federal government. And that's where our reparations truly lie. Black power. Black power to all.
Black power.
All right. So Memorial Day is what we want to hear. What are your thoughts on what the real Memorial Day stands for as well? We also have our Sister Freedom in attendance with us to discuss her thoughts on Memorial Day and the real cause of how we remember not only our Black fallen soldiers, but our Black youth in 2023. Sister Freedom, are you Jamestown? Are you on the other line?
Yes, I am here. Hi, everyone. Doing shalom to you. Sister Freedom, definitely Sister Freedom, Jamestown. Yes, I want to say even on Memorial Day, my mother passed away in 2008. My mother was 66, and she also passed away on Memorial Day. And so I know to me this day, it's a spiritual reason I'm saying that I acknowledge for myself, I acknowledge all of the murders that had happened and the deaths between my people and my nation, and also those who decided to commit, jump over the ship concerning the slave trade. To me, that's my memory of the Memorial Day and our nation of our soldiers fighting for our civil rights during the times of slaves, the slave institutions. So I just don't just say this Memorial Day is a day that you're supposed to go barbecue, et cetera, because I don't. I don't celebrate any of the man-made holidays. But a Memorial Day is to me as all our young people who was also murdered in this country just as well, who have actually died because this is a war. I look at it as such. A lot of our African-American brothers, commonly called Hebrew Nation, that have been murdered in this country and that have been murdered in this country and also have been murdered and just died for many, many reasons is because we are in a war. This is a spiritual war that's happening in the heavens, and I look at these young men as soldiers because they was put into this inner community dealing with the economic issues and the powers that be know it. the economic issues of being taken, their culture being taken away, their ceremony rights being taken away, their rights of passage being taken away, their kintiyatas being taken away, the rights of passage that in the Ancient of Days, culturally, what has happened? The men talk to young boys when they go into manhood at certain ages, to the woods, you understand, and teach them the responsibility of manhood. See, that's not being taught in the United States of America. What's being taught if you throw them in the inner ghetto and then you put them on their own and then you claim that you want them to pull themselves up from their own bootstraps? But we got to remember something. America did not put themselves, did not climb on their own bootstraps. America was blessed, was built on the blood and the evil and the sacrilege of what they have done to our people. America didn't rise themselves up according to their own bootstraps. They needed the back of our people as a nation, as a whole. So why is it that we are continuing to allow this lie to go forward? So this is what it means to me as far as our Memorial Day. I acknowledge my people that are involved in the war. We're in a war right now, and those are soldiers that lost at young ages all the way to the older ones. And I think it's time for us to now speak the reality of what is happening to our people as a nation. We are living in a lie, and we need to deal with this. This is not our narrative. This is not our story. I'm tired of us talking about others' narrative and other story to think this is about the red, white, and blue and soldiers fighting in the army. No, this is deeper than that. And we will not exclude ours who have also died and murdered and fought in this country, that they was never acknowledged. They was never acknowledged. Truthfully, they were told if they fight that they would be able to receive their freedom, and it never happened. So this is what Memorial Day, I feel, means also, that we need to include all of those that have died in the name of fighting for our freedom and our struggle.
That's right. Now, Colonel is on top of that list, the slave revolt, on top of that list. We started a little bit about the slave revolt, the origin concerning the Haitian people. All of that ties into fighting for whatever it may be. The black empowerment is really what we need to focus on. So these holidays, for sure, they mean absolutely nothing because we know they are beyond watered down. So it is up to us, we the people, to continue the legacy of what our ancestors really started, the black empowerment.
Yes, ma'am. I agree 100%.
For those that fought for our freedom in the Black Panther Party, Eldridge Cleaver, Matula Shakur, H.R.F. Brown, all of the held captive political prisoners and the ones today that they know about and don't know about. Geronimo Pratt. He was in one location, they accused him of a crime done in another location when he was hundreds of miles away at a Black Panther meeting, actually, when he was accused of doing something else. I won't go into the details of that because we can make that a whole different story. Him and others that fought for black freedom. Fought on the front lines. And brother, and seemed like as soon as they get you in the, well, I ain't even going to go there because I just want to say that if you meant to do this, you're going to do it and just have to be prepared for anything and everything, by all means necessary, by any means necessary, as you say, to get it done. So we hunting down these reparations. That's the number one thing. And, and the war is being waged right now, a bloody war right now. See, it's like, I want to compare it to, like the minister was talking about the, and others have talked about it before, but the Willie Lynch theory, where they pit us against each other and our differences.
And now it's become so strong and evident, it's weird, you know, because you got the Hebrew Israelites over here. It seems like they should seriously be about black power. And then when I go to them to say black power, I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Sorry. Okay. And then you got the other brothers with the Circle Seven, you know, and they say, and the same thing, you know, Islam is still black power is where I'm from. Just saying, we got to shake all these differences aside and be one whole unity. That's all I'm saying. And then you got the Christians who, be a denomination that eat pork and fix pork every Sunday down in the dining room, and the other one, the denomination that's totally against pork, like Islam, you know. We you know, like Paul said, you, as long if it's a sin, if it's a curse to you, then don't eat it, because it's a curse to you. You know what I mean? But all things can be done the right way. It was what he was trying to say, but he still wouldn't hate it, I don't think. But he said, you know, hey, put it in front of me, I'm gonna eat it. You know, because blessed be the giver and the receiver. So I'm just trying to give out a little bit and receive a little bit of that path of love that we got out there waiting in the wings. So we just keep it going, y'all. I'll land before I land that team of 747, because there's got to be a team of 747, you know, and we're going to leave here like America was leaving the Middle East when they was all scared out of their mind, and they was like, get on the helicopter, get on the helicopter. get on that plane. So we're going to get up out of here the same way. That's repatriation. So I'm thinking about repatriation and the reparation. And we get our own reparations in the meantime. Land acquisition, going to your local governances, as we've been taught by Sister Chupe. Go to your county, who your locals are, whether you're in the county or in the city, and which ward and which ward leaders, and go to their houses, knock on the doors, talk to them, and get them in on the petitions, you know, because the petition is going to be to vote for them or not to vote for them. Because if they're not for the reparations bill, then we're not for them. So they got to push us, for us to push them. Otherwise, we push them up out the way, and which is the plan anyway, and say we got the 16-19 party right here waiting to go. So either you go our way or we going this way. And that's the way it is, where it going to be. Anyway, reparations is now or us, now or L. Black power. Oh, did I leave 77 pages? Please somebody leave that eloquently, as eloquently as only the shaking Mom Akbar himself can do for the digitally unimpaired. It would be $77Baker, and that's a dollar sign first, and then number seven, and all capital letters, B-A-K-E-R-S, Baker. Like can of six, Baker's man. Bake me a cake as black as you can. Black power.
There you go. We got it. And we're happy with our results from all that has been done. We have produced a great website. It's awesome. And we want you all to participate. Every person that's on our central committee will have an office or a spot in our web development and in our flight to IP. And we have been mentioned by one of the technicians that we will bring some AI up in here as well. So we'll be right down to modern times with this product. This Black Panther Party will do much that has been suggested by our
ancestors. It's an unfulfilled prophecy. We have come to fulfill the legacy and the prophecy of our ancestors. And I yield.
Right on. We definitely got to pay homage, and thank you so much for the commentary concerning what Memorial Day really does mean. We don't need to be involved in any of these so-called holidays that they bring up, because it's not a holiday for us. It's real life every day. For over 400 years, we have been given nothing but the shaft. So this is a different season, and we're going to make better memories moving forth for the future. Now, I want to go into some local news that hasn't really been surfaced as much, but it was a disturbing story that came across my desk the other day. And it was about two boys, 11 and 13. They were missing on Mother's Day, May 15th, and they were found dead in different rivers in Manhattan. This happened in New York. So just the other day, they had a memorial for Alpha Barry, 11 years old, and Garrett Warren, 13. And this is what the story transpired. They were seen together in Harlem between May 12th and May 13th before they were reported missing, according to NYPD. Now, the department's Harvard unit found the bodies of the boys several days apart, more than 2 miles away from each other in the Harlem River and the Hudson River. So Garrett died by accidental drowning. This is what the reports say. And the cause of manner of Alpha's death is pending investigation as well. But they figured that the account that these teenage boys were at the scene and they were playing by the water's edge. So we already know that cameras are so far in between anywhere that there should be some type of footage that we demand to see, according to what NYPD is so-called reporting. Now, they said that third boy saw them briefly but did not see them come up again or climb the water. So their story is that they, you know, one of them was pushed in, they're playing, and both of them ended up in the river. But yet, there is no report concerning or footage concerning what happened. They say that there were no video cameras in the area, and detectives are working to reconstruct the steps of the boys prior to the accident. Right here at one of the mosques in New York, they were paying homage to Alpha and the family as well that was there, his mother specifically and his brother, Alpha Usami Barry.
A week ago Friday, when police say Alpha and his friend, 13-year-old Garrett Warren, accessed the shoreline of the Harlem River through a hole in the fence. Last Thursday, Garrett's body was found near the Madison Bridge. This past Saturday, Alpha was found floating in the Hudson River, leaving so many questions on how they got into the water.
The next step is, I have been missing on what was the reason for his death. So I've been looking for questions.
As they struggle to find those answers, Ibrahim can't stop wondering the life his brother would have led.
I wanted to be the best engineer we can reach it, shortest on the avenue. And after we stop, only find something good. And Korea will also have the real problems of his brothers.
And so that's his brother Ibrahim Diallo. And if you remember, Amadou Diallo, also kinfolk, was assaulted by police not too long ago, that infamous police brutality issue. So their brother, the youngest brother, Alfie Barry, you know, he was supposed to be interested in technology. So he wanted to be an electrical, he wanted to be an engineer from what the family had gathered. And so I want to bring this up to light because I believe the families of Alfie Barrett and Warren, 13-year-old Warren, this doesn't sit well with my spirit, my family. So when I hear this type of
tragedy. So many more questions are raised as to how or why. It just doesn't seem like it's an accident, that it should have some more answers. Why were they hanging out by the water's edge? You know, that's highly unusual, as some of their family members have stated. So I want us to remember Alpha Barry and 11-year-old Alpha Barry and 13-year-old Warren Garrett, and pay homage to their spirits, who I'm sure are going to be seeking some refuge and answers as well.
The last of the studio, we're bringing this to an end. We hope that you'll enjoy Black Power Radio tonight and hope that you'll continue to listen as we continue on Sunday with Black Power Radio. And we thank you all for your contributions. It was that anything that was unsaid that should be said can be mentioned at this moment.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, yes, we do have
a black revolutionary.
Yes, yes. So we do want us to join in the next couple of weeks. We'll be discussing the anti-black hate crime bill that we are presenting as legislation. Now, this is very important for us to really have a piece of legislation to protect our black bodies, and this is what is not happening. We also do have Bishop Williams on the line with us as well, who wants to share a story or two concerning Memorial Day. So we do thank each and every one of you for joining us on Black Power Radio as we continue to memorialize not only our fallen soldiers, but all of our black family who has tragically lost their lives for the fight of revolution. All right, Bishop Williams, are you on the line? Can you tell us what your take on Memorial Day is? Welcome to Black Power.
My take is, the thing that I know about and remember, okay, when
the
California...
and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Okay.
Yes,
go ahead, sir. We had a
interference. I can talk now?
Yes, sir. Welcome to Black Power Radio.
Black Power. Okay. I remember when California became a state in 1850, General Folsom was the man, top army man that's over all the army. But out here, and there was the Buffalo Soldiers. They had a tent right here on 12th and on 12th Street by the lake. They had a camp there, and Buffalo Soldiers had a tent there, and their thing was keeping blacks from going around the lake at that time because the white people had all kind of swimming pools and everything else around the lake, and they didn't want no blacks going around there. Matter of fact, blacks had to stay in West Oakland. All of West Oakland and Oakland was where blacks had to stay. They couldn't cross that line coming into the city, okay? But what I'd like to see in the future on days like today and everything, that we can do something to honor our black heroes, our veterans, you know, because when they have this day, there's never nothing hardly done about for blacks. And you have some powerful blacks, and I have to know some of them, and some of them in my family, big heroes, you know, and we need to do something. Said something about him on this day and everything. Because to me, over the years, it's been a white day. You know? They're just honoring most of the white people you see involved. You know, and also then about the black heroes that was in
in
the war, you know? And in the army, in the Civil War, there was 179,000 blacks in the Union Army, free men. In the 1860, they were free. Abraham Lincoln gave all of them their freedom. They had to be free to fight in the army. But the president, Ulysses Grant, he was Ku Klux Klan, so racist. Him and Lee, they didn't care nothing about blacks. All they wanted to care something about their farming thing. And they was railroad people, the Ku Klux Klan. So he murdered 40,000 of the 139,000 blacks that was in the Civil War. He murdered them all kind of ways. No food, no clothes, everything. This coke, everything. And they have a $50 billion lawsuit, number one, for blacks coming from the army. So
that's when they were starving them in there too?
Beg your pardon?
That's when they were starving them? They starved them in there?
Yeah, they starved them in there. And everything, no clothes, no food. There's a disease that's called, I can't think of the name of it, for that, you know. But this is Grant.
Sickle cell?
He didn't care nothing about no blacks. He hated blacks. And in the 1880s, they had this, he was the president. And they brought the first... I want to see the truth come out about that. And right here in Oakland, so much happened in Oakland here.
That's right.
I want to bring this. I want to bring it out. So,
that's precisely what we'll do, Bishop Williams, on July 21st, right there in the Bay Area. We're going to have a special event to bring forth more messages concerning reparations and the truth of the slave camps that have been hidden or try to be covered up right there in that area. Many people...
Oh, that film, that trouble got, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
That is something. My God, showing me what all the slave places here in Oakland and everything. And I like to see people come together. I want to put in a Black Wall Street here in Oakland. Some other place talk about a Black Wall Street. But I want to build one right here in Oakland, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We have the power to do it. And I need people to, number one, Black Lives Matter and all the other people, Black Power, all of y'all, I want all of y'all to get involved with what me and Dr. Bailey and all of us doing here in Oakland, okay?
That's right.
And going after this property.
Yeah.
We need support doing it right here in Oakland, okay?
Right on.
I passed the Tony number. He's the head of that. Just talk to Carter. He'll get with it.
Okay. Thank y'all. God bless you. I know so many things happen in other cities, but I have all of the proof. The city of Oakland is a slave camp right now. I have that proof.
That's right. It's a slave camp everywhere, sir. It is a slave camp everywhere. They're not announcing it, but... That's what we give to our local governance. We give it nothing. So that's why we say you don't give a damn about no what?
Crack a name on the fam. Not here tonight and not in our future. We've been caring about somebody that don't give a damn about us. Bled our hearts and sentiments, and all of our, crying big kids. George F.K. was a good old boy, and Robert F. was just like his twin, and oh, bye-bye. And then Stephen didn't care about you, Slim. We just got life just a little twisted because every black child, especially descendants of slaves, was given a pair of these rose-colored glasses. And far too many of those in the NAACP and in those groups be seeing life through them goddamn rose-colored glasses. It got stuck. Did Ty get on? Because Ty was in the shoot. Did he come on? I had to get off the mic for a minute. Did Ty Nitty get on? He was on this. Anybody fish out Ty Nitty? Who's got Ty or something? Anybody?
We're doing a state search in South Carolina. Where Ty Nitty?
Pardon me. You there, Ty Nitty? He ain't there. I thought I added him to the queue, but somebody go back after him and get him. We're just going to sum up here with this edition of Black Power Radio. We're glad you joined us, glad you were patient with all the technical difficulty, and that beautiful city of Dallas lit. I'm looking at Dallas now. It's a hell of a backdrop. See, they don't mind lighting up their downtown. You got all the patriots, the red, white, and blue, and that's what Sam Houston and them up there. They hanging there. We just left her hanging here in Dallas, Texas, but it's a wonderful thing.
We have to light up Oakland, California the same way. And the reason that so many blacks is killed here and everything, because it's a black city at night. Black city in the daytime. No lights at night. No lights. You travel through cities where you can see the whole city lit up. Oakland is a black city at night. No lights. There's been the thieves and the mugging, all that stuff going, so much killing here. It's been like that. Many years ago, I stood for the city council for a lot of weeks for them to put lights in Oakland. And they never did.
No problem.
They claimed they brought some in one time. When they brought them in, when the lights come in, they put them in the white district up in Piedmont. None, never in West Oakland, and East Oakland. So I don't want to charge. I want to use a murder in the case. I want to find out. Okay. Against the government, okay? The police department. Because I know how many blacks been killed by police there. So, down murder. So, we might have to go for the world's court. Not American court, but the world's court.
Yeah. That's where they need to be tried and hung for treason. You think that's a myth? Oh, no, black family. That's something, that's a reality. We haven't mentioned the world court too much, but that actually is our governance. It's not the Constitution. It's the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
We have to do that because there's a lot of the insurance companies we got to file. So they're the one that, number one, insured. The slave masters, slaves for the slave masters. I mean, thousands of them. Okay, we want all that money and the money from the all the gold blacks had in the bank in the black banks. They put it in there. They couldn't get it out. So we got to speak out on that on our rallies and things. Okay, about all the money that's owed to us.
That's right, that's right.
The government, North and South, raised billions of dollars on this gold black people had in the black banks. Okay, now, that is something that's important.
That's right. Yeah, now, thank you for mentioning that, Bishop. We do have, as we mentioned yesterday, we did a history on Haiti. And many of the gold in Boston right now is from Haiti. It's Haitian gold that's literally sitting in the government. So that is not about monetary. It's getting that gold. Absolutely right.
The government in 1874, the government gave Chase Bank all the gold that was left there. They gave it to Chase Bank. the government of letting the railroad companies tip us in slavery all over this country and did all the harm and bad things and the hanging trees. The government did that.
Yes, sir.
There's been so much killing going on now and everything. So we have to get off in with this, what they call NRA or whatever it is, against this gun control.
All right. Well, gun control, that's a whole different subject right there. The gun laws is how they get a lot of us as well. They're telling us we can't carry and it's a felony, this and that. So a lot of these legislation, that's why I say it's very important to know your rights. When
well,
you actually don't have any.
Every home should have a gun in it, but I'm saying it because that's a civil war coming. It's on right now. But we need to keep the guns out of the criminals' hands.
That's right. But, you know, we're not financing or we're not giving criminals guns. People commit crimes, they get the guns by Mexico. They get shipped in the hood. So a lot of these babies out here, that some of them are gangbanging, they didn't get the guns legally, many of them, which is causing death and destruction within our own community. So that's made by design. That's an agenda. That's all part of why we need to take a stand and create our own governance and rule ourselves and create safety measures. This is what we implore, especially to our veterans who are military trained. We never retire. We have to continue to fight and protect our Black communities until we actually have a solid foundation. That's
now we have a percentage. We have a percentage of money. Percentage of money and everything and a weapon and everything and airplanes all coming from the Army and the Navy. Okay. And they destroyed that them there 40,000 blacks. Killed 40,000 blacks, US Mrs. Grant. Okay. The Army owes a lot of money. We can get more money, equipment, cars, trucks, airplanes and everything. And we just come together and tell the truth. We have to bring some things out so people can see it. Let these students see it. You see, had all the Army bases overseas and all the airplane ships they got overseas and out there, right? Now, part of that money belongs to Black people right here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's our money out there.
Yeah, we're going to go get it. We're going to go get it. So we got to tell the truth and shame the devil. That's right, sir.
Black power.
Black power. Black power to you. That was our Honorable Bishop William Lee Charles for referendum.
So we're going to black that call with our Black military.
Black that call.
Back off the hook because she told a few jokes and, you know, tried to make a little something in our paper now and then. They was big time, brothers and sisters. And that's the greatest point Beloved made.
They owe us reparations.
They didn't want one red cent coming to us, my mind.
Zero. Not a penny. But we finna get our money. That's right. Finna pay.
Reparations. Time to pay up. Cut the check.
Cut the check. So,
all money in.
Black family, we want you to please save the date, June 17th in Los Angeles, June 21st in Oakland, the Bay Area, and our final call will be October 16th in Washington, D.C. So October 16th to the 21st, we are requesting that our local governance have an actual... Let me know this for a second.
Drum roll.
Right. Okay, so October 16th to the 21st in Washington, D.C., we're planning to have our
50 million family march, where families are tired of having their taxes being used against. So we say no reparations, 2022. No
soap,
2024. That's just how we're going to roll. So our local governors, if you are in any city, USA, you need to know your city council governors, your county council governors, your state governors, your assembly person, your Senate, your House of Representatives. They're all on notice. They're on notice. And so if they don't give the reparations in time, according to you, the people,
they will be served.
Somebody is going to jail. That's right.
It will be so.
It will be so.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Yes, yes. So we thank you so much for joining
us. Amen. Amen.
Power Radio. Amen, amen. And thank you so much for chiming in, Bishop. It's always an honor to have you in and giving us the real skinny happening behind the scenes. Power to the people. So, National Chairman, we'll take it from there. Before we do, I do want us to leave us with a Bible verse, because we always must remember, my family, that this is a spiritual battle. It is not what you see in front of you. It is about making the course of what revolution really is. There's no blueprint on this.
That's
we don't
right.
have a training course on teaching us how to fight revolution. Oh, no. If anything, they're trying to erase or dismantle critical race theory, and it's not even a course. They can't stand black people so much. I tell you, we have a lot stacked against us, but we have more going for us when it comes to unity, and that's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 Kings 22, verse 5 and 6. Let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages to the house, to the carpenters and the builders and the masons, and for buying timber and hone stone to repair the house. Now, this is just a simple reparations verse. 2 Kings 22, verse 5 to 6, that those who have worked to build this country, pay us our wages. That's all we're saying. Pay us our wages. Now,
yeah,
they don't need to do that. So now they're not, that's right, they're not cooperating and paying us. Then we don't just have to take it. That's just the name of the game. So with that being said, appreciate y'all so much. God's power to all. And we revert back the mic to our national chairman, Shaky Mama.
I am a black revolutionary.
Day of the observation or the observance of our ancestors, and we got Will Mike come to the mic, so he's calling. Somebody take the mic and let us get our brother to the mic.
He said he was listening in on the show. I sent him a text.
Come on in, come on in.
I got to shoot it back.
The water is just fine. Come on in. I am a black revolutionary. Hit me again.
Right. When we're not happy slaves.
I'm not a happy slave. Hey, come on now. My alma mizo. They did it to us on purpose. I love that scripture, what you just read. It kind of sinks in there. Can you go fine tune that one more again?
Well, here we got it. 2 Kings 22, 5, verse 6. It says, let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages of the house, to the carpenters and the builders and the masons, and for buying timber
and hone stone to repair the house. Hey, I found money.
Yes, ma'am.
What the check?
And also the workers, I was going to fine-tune one little piece at a time. But see, we the workers too, you know, doing God's work for the people. You know, God sends his workers to the people, for the people, by the people, with the people. And, you know, so even the churches consider themselves workers of the Spirit, and that's why they ask for 10% of your wages and stuff like that, tithes, you know. And, but that goes way back before them anyway, because the churches used to get their tithes to Abraham. And it was like the children of Israel come with the covenant, anyway, that's getting a little too deep. All I want to say is we're the workers, and we deserve our pay. You know, I mean, because not just we the people, but we the people that's putting in the work for the people is what I'm talking about. That's why I say we got to push, the people got to get us where we need to be. Let me put it like that. Like, can't drive everywhere. That's been proven. Long story short. We need to fly. We need to get there by any means necessary. And that's why I say hit the Cash App, $77Baker. Because only us is going to finance us. And we are the workers. We are the workers, you know. Black Power. I hope you wonder.
That's good. Now what we have to do, what we have to continue to do.
Yes, sir.
You're speaking of the church, but we have to use the scriptures.
We are
just like Dr. Babe was doing out of the Bible. You know what I mean? Because a lot of things.
We are the church in this regard.
Not right, but I'm saying a lot of things that.
You know,
a lot of things in the Bible the church don't teach.
Oh, yes,
not
sir.
The community. So we have to use
the
scriptures in the Bible.
I don't mean the church. I'm saying the workers. The workers of the people. Not the workers of the church, but we're workers for the people, you know?
Right.
Like God sent us for the people, to the people.
Right.
So they would have protectors, and they would have guides, and even in spiritual regards, you would have men of the cloth like yourself.
Can I say something to that?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay.
Black Power.
Now,
I'm with
you. Okay, now, I have an African Bible. Okay.
Yes, sir.
It's written in King James, some of it, but it's African, a lot about Africa and everything. And I just share with you that I'm Jesus' cousin. He's my Savior, but he also is my cousin.
Yes,
because
sir.
Jesus, he's an Israelite, him and his mother both, you see. And I, everything that's written in them about the wealth, all the wealth, the money, and gold and everything written in the Bible is for God's people. He didn't write it for nobody else. None of the other kings and queens and bodies. He wrote it for his people.
He was an Israelite. To the lost children of Israel.
That's right. Mm-hmm. To the Israelites. All the Israelites. Black people.
He was a Nazarene from birth.
And Adam was black. This is what we have to see in the Bible.
Yeah.
And all the Israelites.
Mm-hmm. Nazarene. Because the ones that had the covenant from the sixth chapter of Numbers come down from God. When not to cut the locks of their head. And hold it all the days of their covenant. The Nazarene. And then, matter of fact, when you remember in that scripture when it said, who are you looking for? He's looking for the Nazarene.
You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Grab the wrong one. Tell him. I know you like that. He grabbed the wrong one. And when Christ stepped forward and said, I'm the one you're looking for. You know, saying you're looking for the Nazarene? Here I am. And he stepped through like a big roster man with dreadlocks. So the soldiers fell backwards. And we talking about hardcore soldiers. I mean, to make a soldier, hardcore soldier, fall backwards, you got to be, I mean, coming through like a lion, like a big panther, like a black panther. So that's why I just wanted to agree with you on that when you say in Israel, like, let's fine-tune it. He was a Nazarene, like myself. Black power.
Black power.
And I am a black revolutionary. I am a black revolutionary.
I am a black revolutionary.
Black tall.
Tell the truth and stay in the church.
We're holding them up in there.
Yes, sir.
And we
well, like, you know, the church is two more gathered. He is in the midst. And then we have the Malcolm X said, if you're a Christian, and he's Nation Islam, and he's Muslim, and me, I'm a Nazarene. Where do we come together as being, I am a black revolutionary. There we go.
Fred Hampton started with I am a revolutionary. So you can kill a revolutionary, but you can never kill a revolution.
Right.
And I say I am a black revolutionary. And you can kill a black revolutionary, but you can never kill a black revolutionary. That's Khalid Abdul Muhammad teaches us that. The black revolution is on a fine timeline of the divine. And you
can I ask a question?
You can never, ever speed it up with your anticipation. And you can't slow it down puking and moaning. Come on, come on.
Can I ask a question? Black power, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
On this big thing in Washington, D.C., now is Farrakhan is going to support and speak on reparations just like others?
But we're killing the group of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and many of his supporters do support it, and we have not gotten his words from him, and we never speak for him. We are appealing to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at this hour, and with hope that he will support the effort, perhaps even with his speech, if we can organize it all. We've talked to a few of his followers.
His speech and his people and everything. That's really not feel that we need to set a date there for
president. Well, if I were you, where are you live now?
What
sir?
We
where
do.
You live where you live?
Me?
Yes, sir.
I live in Oakland, California.
Okay, so you can start reaching out to his ministers, and that will show a network of support because he's direct with his ministers. He's in contact with them, with all of his representatives and student ministers, et cetera. And he just wants you to do the outreach and let them know. And then he'll say, oh, and I just got another call from Oakland. Just got another one from
D.C. No, he's not going to be. I've been with him. See, Trayvon Martin, when he was murdered here, I used to hold him closed door meeting down there, and I met Farrakhan when he come here, you know. It's so far apart, you know what I mean? Can't reach that to him.
I'm just attempting to share with you. I'll never speak for him. He doesn't really allow anybody to speak for him because he's so eloquent that he can speak for himself. See, when you say the minister, regardless of who the speaker is, regardless of land, language, or label, you know you're talking about the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He earned that spot. He earned that title basically for himself. He did that work, and that's the work that we always acknowledge, the works of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the amount of outreach. And when he goes in these other countries, they come out by the thousands just to see this man. And it worked for Alhaj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X. It worked for Muhammad Ali. And it's still working for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at this hour. They love Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, amongst my true followers, they will become some of the most successful men in the world. And he lived that legacy to Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
This is Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar. I live the legacy of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we are some of the most successful men and women and children in the world for the basis, the University of Islam education, from the upbringing in the Nation of Islam and the fruit, and all of those things combined are just elements of success, and that Midas touch just follows most of us around. So I'm just here to just bear witness. That's all I can do is bear witness, beloved. And we'll make our appeals and hope that it landed, the plane lands where we want it. You know what I'm saying? You right there with me?
Yeah, but
yes, sir. Black power.
There's no guarantee on anything, and we don't know exactly how it. I haven't really gotten, nor have I been in touch with the network that said they have his sentiments on the reparations. I haven't heard his speech on reparations that I know of. If it's out there, I just haven't heard it. So I don't know how he actually feels about it, because many times you'd be surprised. You down there banking and banging on so-and-so.
To me, over the years, Farrakhan is really just for him and the Muslim.
I don't want to get on here and bring Farrakhan up a notch. I won't bring him down. I'll leave it right where he is in our network. He has a lot of.
I'm not trying to bring him down, but what I'm saying is,
I
black people
down,
come together.
No form of slack.
If I may say something.
He's been my friend and mentor my whole full and complete life. When I found this work, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan was already in the work, already doing the work. You see what I say? He did the first, the family day, the thing that I see and respect. He did the first one, the first family day was done by Most Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So what in the world can I say? You know, other than he's just been a great man, a great mentor, and I highly respect this man, and I continue to do the work, probably in his legacy and his spirit, probably more so than any. I'm a student of the Most Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and, you know, Khalid respected him all the way from his beginning stages, the beginning, middle, and the end, and I just don't know anything else that I can say about it, other than it's good begets good. And if we start out good and start out right, you end up right. You start out lopsided, you end up lopsided. So we try to stay straight and look straight, see straight, as Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad teaches us. And when you see the enemy, goddammit, you better shoot straight. Elton Johnson would shoot the bloody bristle right between the eyes. That's the way I see it, but you can take it for
yourself. Can Sister Freedom, Freedom Jamestown speak?
Yes, ma'am.
Go right on ahead.
Black power, welcome.
Myself would like to say that I heard recently, a video that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Farrakhan had stated, the Honorable Farrakhan had stated that he said to his men, I remember it was recently a shooting of a little girl in New York. And he came out within the community, and he made a statement. And the statement was that many of his ministers was not going to allow them to use these titles if they was not going to come out into the streets and do the work. He stated that he was very tired of giving titles to the young men, and they was not using those titles to actually come out and do the work within the inner community. Now, this is what I'm going to say. My name is Salah Hakuya, and it means to speak truthfully. And I have to speak what's on my heart.
Yes, ma'am.
One of my concerns was, I think that Bishop Williams, he said something that was truthful. He doesn't have any hidden agendas. He's a man of age. You might as well say on his way maybe to his 80s, in his 80s. And so when you reach that age and you come from where he comes from, of actually being a part and understanding the slave trade and what's going on with us as a nation, then he have no hidden agendas. He has to just say what it is. And that means that many of these black so-called leaders that are claiming to be leaders, we have to really look at the reality of what's happening and the condition of our people.
That's right.
We are not moving forward. We have decreased, as far as I'm concerned. We have deteriorated, and the problem has gotten worse. Now, many of these so-called leaders, I want to say, there are many that I can call by name, but I choose not to do that because myself don't use platforms to bring my people down, even though that many of us can do better. But this is what I want to say, is the fact that he made the statement concerning giving his young ministers titles and they're not getting out there and doing the work. I think that we have to really look at many of the leaders who is raising the upcoming generation. The question I ask, even the children of the Martin Luther Kings, the Sammy Davis Juniors, you understand, even the Malcolm X, et cetera, all of their generations, where are they? Where are they? Where are many of what Sarah Khan stated? Where is that generation? Meaning that I can understand being very, very successful. Yes, they are, because they are taught in a black organization to love themselves. Their curriculum is about themselves. Everything they do is about themselves. But what I want to know is where are the disciples of these so-called black organizations? Now, let's be very honest. In Chicago, it is one of the highest of murders in Chicago. Now, I ask the question, I've always asked the question, if the headquarters are a lot of the mosques of these temples and in these cities, it's so much high crime of murders involved right in these cities where the headquarters are, I'm really starting to ask some questions. Why is it a city that over 500 a year of our black boys are being murdered and some of the girls, but the headquarters of these black organizations are within these cities. And right. So I think it's time for us to start asking some serious questions. Are we truly doing the work? Yeah, we have to. Are we truly the so-called black liberation? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not the type of person to join an organization because they're talking about the black liberation or the Black Lives Matter. The phone is I'm hearing a background.
Yeah, I think it's coming out soon. Go ahead to the phone.
You understand? All these organizations that talk about the black movement, you're in the NAACP, not excluded. You understand? I'm hearing all these black organizations talking about Northfest, Black Power, Black Liberation, Black Lives Matter. But are we really doing what it needs to be done to make the change?
The answer is no.
Are we just going around just talking about Hi-Fi, Black Panther, Black Power, Umdawa, Umyawa, Kumbaya, all that? NAACP, I mean all the churches, we have to look, all these preachers, we have to look at the reality of where we are. We really making the change?
Well, here on the Panther Network, we're about change. We're giving the platform and the blueprint on making that change. Not every other group, I can't speak for that, but we up here, we doing the work that we speak of, which is why
right.
We need all these black groups. Yeah,
in general.
We need them to be on board on what we do.
In general. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about as a collective.
This is why we're stepping forth.
Exactly. I'm saying this is about the collective now. Are we talking about as far as the black nation of people? Are we really doing what we're supposed to do to fight for change for this generation that doesn't have what it takes? Because this new generation, they don't have it. If we're going to be quoting scriptures, it says that the strong must carry the burdens of the weak. It also says they would be wiser, but they would be weaker. They would be wiser, but they would be weaker. So that means that it's something for us to do.
the older generation to have the wisdom and the knowledge. It's something that is meant for us to do.
That's right.
I concur with you, Sister Q. Sister Q Davis, this double R, look. That's you hitting the head on. But look, this is what this radio station is for. This is why we come here collectively. This is the fruit of the people you're talking about.
That's right.
The 1619 Reparations Party movement is that movement for Article 5, our self-determination. But the thing is unity. We have to get a unity in all aspects of black people, from money to religion to whatever you like, chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. We have to come to a commonality and bring ourselves together. Because the youth, when they see us fat, they're going to go the other way. So it's about the youth. But the youth is going to see what we share it all. That's in front of them. But this movement here, this program right here, it's all what you said in a nutshell. This is the movement, and this is the fruit from the people in front of us that we stand on the shoulders of. However, like I said, we have to calm down. We have to stop bashing everybody like to a total sense of disturbing these youth. We got to build a way and find a way, like the Bible say, let your speech be with salt. Leave it with salt so that the others would know how to respond. Because we do have issues. At the end of the day, we came from the same boat. We from 1619 at the end of the day. Like the Crips say, where you from? We're from 1619, homeboy. That's how you dish that out. If we can dish out the gangbangers, we dishing out these religious groups, we dish out to the liberal, the young and the old, we can conquer this. It starts with us, and I concur with you. I yield black.
Y'all ain't shooting this week.
Well, you know, definitely, I'm hearing you, and I respect that, you know what I'm saying, because that's what it's really all about. It's about just bringing the truth to the table and just throwing out here to what is. I mean, I don't go in and everywhere, but I just feel like somehow I feel there's something about the 1619 Black Panther movement right now is more closer to the direction that we need to go. Because I'm all about Article 5 all the way. You understand what I'm saying? I'm all about Article 5. I'm all about us going and fighting for reparations, just showing up, just to show up concerning Washington. This is what I'm about. I'm about the takeover that we do on land and land acquisition.
And
this is a reality that I see that needs to be dealt. And we're not going to deal with this overnight.
Like,
but it has to be some type of change somewhere because, you know, organizations are always starting something. They always start something new, but they never finish it to the end, and
thanks
we're never able to unify. But I'm
Hold on one second, sis. I'm shaking my mic off.
The guy that put the oil in.
National chairman.
Okay. Yeah.
You're in the background. Yeah, we had one mic on Sister Salas.
Okay, we're sorry about that.
Okay, I definitely appreciate the consistency of Dr. Truth. You know what I'm saying? I see the commitment that she's putting in. You know what I'm saying? She's putting in this commitment, and she's loyal and true, and she's dedicated to this. You know, and I see the same truth, Sister 1619, just as well. I know that you're a brother that's been there, know what time it is, somewhere you went and studied and showed yourself approved to be able to come and represent and do your purpose and do your mission. I can sense that, and I can see that. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to make sure, and I know that we are, this radio program is really about it. I feel sincerity. But, you know, the consistency that I'm all about, I don't just go anywhere and just kick it on a regular basis with nobody unless they're really about making the moves and doing what needs to be done. So I do realize that it's going to take some time, that it's not going to take overnight. It's about unifying. It's about us being committed to this for sure and growing together and learning together because this is also an opportunity for us to learn and grow and keep on being consistent to look into things that we need to look into. You know what I'm saying, for us to deal with this issues that we're dealing with ourselves, that's, you know, not an easy route. But I do want to say this. I'm in San Francisco. Carnivale yesterday here in San Francisco that the Latino community have every year. And they was acknowledging Puerto Rico, Colombia, El Salvador, and they did their beautiful cultural ceremonies. They was acknowledging their ancestors. Some wore beautiful picture frames of their ancestors, and they was dressed in their beautiful attires. You understand what I'm saying? And it was a beautiful thing on yesterday. I had never been, but because my grandchildren was in this carnival, I went. All the years that these other cultures within this United States, if they have built, you should have seen how many people and how many people was on the float and how I'm talking about thousands and thousands. They had the whole area, so many blocks shut down for this culture of other cultures, Latinos, Puerto Ricos, Colombians, El Salvadorans. But then I went to a play here in San Francisco on a Saturday night, night before last. Didn't know what the play was. I saw two mothers who I knew was going into the building. It's called Bayview Opera House here in Opera House in Bayview, Ruth Williams Memorial Theater, where Danny Glover first received his training as an actor. And guess what the play was about? I mean, it was packed. Everyone was in there. It was packed. All around, they was dressed in their sequins, et cetera. But you know what the play was about? The play was about one of the OGs, as you want to know, call him. His name was Fillmore Slim. And they was doing a legend of him, telling his story of a Fillmore Slim who was known as a pimp. And the work was to put black women as prostitutes on the whole stroll. They were called whores and hookers. But yet this opera house in Bayview in the black community where I live, they was acknowledging a pimp and glorifying and clapping and applauding. I didn't know where I was going. I saw two mothers who I knew going into this community theater, and I thought maybe I would go on a Saturday night. And the play was about a pimp who would put black women on the whole stroll and how he made his money over the past 30, 40 years. But here the next day, it was a beautiful cultural ceremony of the Latinos and the Salvadorans and the Puerto Ricans and the Colombians and on and on and on, showing their cultural way attire and their music and their dance and their drumming. But yet we celebrating a pimp that had put the black women on a whole stove for years. And then we ask the question, why is it that other cultures come over and do what they do? Why are they so successful? We ask the culture that question. Here it is. They've been coming to this country for how many immigrants, and now they're here by the thousands and have organized to put on their cultural ceremony parades by the thousands. And we here at an opera house called Celebrating the Black Man Who Was a Pimp, who put black women as whores. And then we ask the question, why are we not moving forward as a nation? Why are our children in the condition that they are? But the most evil thing of it, it wasn't that he was a pimp, because he said that how he became a pimp was the woman made him. He called her a hooker. He said the hooker told me that she wanted him to be his pimp. He said that he didn't want to be in. He said it was a woman, a children in the state and the condition that they're in, but yet they were clapping and magnifying, glorifying this man as a pimp. You understand what I'm saying? And that was the most horrible thing that I experienced yesterday, because I was only in there for 8 to 10 minutes. When I saw where I was, the seat was packed. And it was a white woman that I ended up sitting next to, do because it was the only seat available. And she was about the age of 70. Everybody else up in there is black. But here it is, a white woman. And she says to me when I sit down and the lights is dim, she says, there he is. Well, I said, excuse me. I said, what is the name of the play? She said, oh, it's the legendary story of Fillmore Slim. I said, Fillmore Slim, the pimp? She said, yeah, there he is right there. And then she pointed, there he is over there, like I'm looking for a famous star. And there he is. Oh, the spotlight is on him. So I guess I'm supposed to be looking like, oh, where is he? Where is the pimp who the black women and made them number whores? And I said to her, I said, you mean the pimp who put black women, nothing, and it was known for putting black women on the whole show as whores and prostitutes? And that's what you're telling me over there, there he is? I said, how do you feel? And she was a Caucasian woman, and she started shaking her body a little bit, like feeling uncomfortable. Because I guess she thought that I was going to be one of the black women up in there, said, oh, yeah, they're going to feel more slim. They're going to pimp. Oh, he a bad brother, baby. Oh, he put plenty of black women on the whole show. I asked her the question, like, really? I didn't know where I was. I didn't know. You know what I did? I got up, and I walked out. I was embarrassed and ashamed to even be in an environment. And I said to him, when I filmed, I said, see, all this has something to do. We think that this is going off the subject. No, it's not going off the subject. We have to also look at the condition of our people. We talk about we want reparations, what has to do with repairing and amending and restoring us. The white man ain't giving to us. But what are we giving to ourselves is the question. See, we have to have our whole conversation about the condition because we talk about we need help. Truth said, as many of the work is done by a woman. Much of the work is done by a woman. Much of the work is done by a mother. Because who's going to come out here and help us? I said, now, the rule wouldn't have been passed if I was saying we was having a town hall meeting for the killings in our community, but the rule was passed for acknowledging a brother as a pimp, prostituting black women who's supposed to be queens.
Exactly.
And royal.
That's TV. That's what they portray us as. Another pimp is a gangbanger. How did Eazy-E go sit down at the table and eat with the president? You feel me? It's about genociding on these white folks. You feel me? They let us, and we suckers to it. We going for the banana and the tailpipe every single time.
Exactly.
Because of money. Who's ever make the money? We worship who make the money. And who's making the money? The most negative people on this earth from our breed. You feel me? That's who glorified. But however, this room right here, we changing that. We aware of that. We woke. We won't attend nothing like that. Next time, we need to protest in front of that. You feel me? We concur with you. We concur with you, of course, because it's about unity. First of all, how we can't reach out, he's the lowest scum of the earth. Pimp. Stronging our young women, just like what the white folk did in 1619. Strong our young as little as 12 years old. You feel me? To they white folk and sold them and prostituted them. It's a low life thing. They gratify that. They explode it, and they let us do it. The gangbang and all these negative rappers. We trying to change this world too with the HHF, Hip Hop Fraternity. We changing these lyrics. So we don't run a court with you, Fisk, for real. But this circle right here, everybody on this station, listen. Just like she said, where is the fruit of the ones that were before that we stand on the shoulders of?
That's right.
She don't
Who do they pass the torch to?
She don't see the fruit. The fruit is here. The fruit is right here on your ear right there. You the one of the fruit that's listening. We got to go on and rub elbows and bring everybody else together like we've been doing. I've not met you, babe, in December. We done worked so much from December. It ain't even been a year yet. Just on being woke. So as we share this station, y'all spread the word. Let everybody know. What we say here, it tell 10 people. They going to tell. You feel me? So when we come over here, we're going to get, man, we had conversations earlier, me and Doc. Like, we connected some real stuff just through this reparation stuff. Just rubbing elbows.
Yeah.
And we collided together with everything else. And now we got more powerful movements. But it's from y'all that's really generated toward the youth. It's going to make it happen. I'm going to tell y'all that now. If you got that blood and that drive for this youth, it's going to happen. I yell black. Black power.
Black power. Very well said. Very necessary. And so we can't be hypocritical to the cause. You've asked and asked the question, where is our leaders? So that's why I don't pay homage to no human being. I pay homage to our youth who have been the real martyrs because they have been given
Mm-hmm.
They have been given lemon. Black power.
Black power. Black power. So I'll be going to
taking notes?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, as we utilize this platform to continue to disseminate a solution, we have to repeat ourselves maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, but it's okay. Be all we got until we all get it, that we have legislation, that we have a party to protect our black interests, and we just need to snatch this property. So that means those proactively doing the assignment, in the end, we shall be victorious. There is no leadership. And be honest with you, whoever, you know, Nation of Islam is just as powerful with black empowerment as any other. But again, we got to call it for what it is and be truthful. What does our young people have to look at as a plan of action right now? We're creating it. So on June 17th in Los Angeles, that's the starting point, June 21st in Oakland. And there will be some dates in between, but the final destination, black family, is to make your way to Washington, D.C., because we're carrying on the Poor People's Campaign that never was. It was carried on by those. Carried on. Yes, sir. Carried on by those who use our black struggle. And Black Lives Matter is the first one on top of that list that we've been to call out, making $100 million and creating hashtags for us, but not a damn bill. Not a school, not a nothing in sight, but mansions for their leaders. So
that's the LGBT anyway. That's not about black folks. That's about LGBT and what is that? That George Soros paying with all that money and stuff, getting that all that confusion started
yeah,
in the first place.
Let her land a plane and then
shell game.
Sure.
Allow her to land. Moving forward. They got this far because of organizations. That's one thing I'm going to give it to Black Lives Matter. They are master organizers. Organization gets you everywhere. So when we come together and complete assignments, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be on top because we're running things. Either you're on the freedom train, you got your ticket for it, or you're going to be left behind. And that I yield Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Wrap up the show, National Chairman. But join us next week. Black Power Radio, we will be disseminating the anti-black hate crime bill. Oh, it's going to be everything, black family. The next 4 weeks will be that itself. So all of the jawjackers and the organizers and the activists, they're going to be at this table. We're going to be discussing our final bill. So that's what we'll be using our platform. Specifically, we have 30 articles that we'll be breaking down starting next Sunday and Monday. And we want you, John Q. Public, our black family, a listening audience, to input your legislation. What is it that you want to see in the anti-black hate crime bill? What is it that you want to protect? Now will be the time for you to be interactive. And then we're leading up to the charge on Juneteenth. So that's how we do it with We the People. I'm black, and I'm proud, and I would not want it to be any other way. So in the words of Adam Clayton Powell, black is beautiful, baby.
Black Powell.
Yes, black is beautiful for sure.
Let's go.
I don't think we got Marvin Gaye today, but National Chairman.
We do have the David in the Psalms when he said, "I am black but beautiful, O ye daughters of Jerusalem." You know, so I'll leave it with that too. Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
National Chairman, you might be muted, sir. Black Power, you on there? I am.
Black Revolution.
Black Revolutionary.
Right on.
All right. Well, thank you, Black audience. Love and appreciate you. And we're out. I guess due to technicality, we can disengage.
All right.
Join us next
week. Give him a couple minutes.
All right. Well, while if you're still on the line, you can disseminate what would you like to see on the anti-black hate crime bill. Give us some pointers.
We ain't got no time for that. Like I said, anti-crime bill, B-O-Z, I put an S on it. You feel me? So it go from everything. What's a hate crime? Hate crime is anything you do negative to us. It ain't just hanging us from a tree. It's denying us loans. It's CRT. Them is hate crimes. You feel me? So and the ones who, like the governor right here, Governor Newsom, he ain't passing the CRT. We need to rename it, just Black History from K-12. You telling me we can't study our history? That's a hate crime. So that's another
thing. All right.
I'm going to be
right.
That's another
BS. It sure is a hate crime. Go ahead.
That's right.
And you know what another hate crime is?
Yes,
ma'am. Every Black person should have shelter. I'm serious about that. It should be
housing,
that,
yes. Mandatory.
It should be mandatory that we have access to shelter. First priority number one. I don't think anyone should be allowed in this country where Black folks don't have shelter. So
yeah,
that's
like the Native American. Exactly. They got land. Hey, sis. Land, check. With my knee on their neck. That's what I'm talking about.
Mandatory housing for our people.
That's right. We need land.
They're not shelter for people that got to lay their head, a place to lay their head.
That's right. That should be illegal. Absolutely correct. I concur. Another one is also equity. Another one is equity. A lot of the Black businesses who applied for loans, especially bank loans, Citibank, Wells Fargo, Chase Bank, just to name a few who actually participated in the slave trade at one point in time, all of that equity that applied for should be an automatic yes. Automatic yes. So that is should be illegal for any rejection concerning equity or support. And that's really how we build our businesses. A lot of these Black businesses that tried to stay afloat, they were, denied support from their own taxes that they paid. So all of that should be revisited on the business side. Secondly, also low-level offenders, automatic retrial release, especially those who are not involved in pedophilia or actual murder, with that exception, but every other case of Black persons, prisoners of war, weed charges, all of that should be overturned and given opportunity for housing and businesses right off the bat.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's where, internally our jail system. So that's quite a few, many more aspects, and this is why it's going to be a great couple of weeks to really hear from us what we want to finalize. And October 16th, we will have our final bill. We're not waiting for any politician or politrician, as we like to call them, any blackface, nothing. Congressional Black Caucus can kick rocks. Kamala Harris, see you later. All of these people, task force, bye. We're going to develop our own legislation and present it, and they will have to respect it or else somebody's going to jail. Praise the Lord.
I hear you.
Wow.
Definitely. Well, I think that, we need to really kind of look into also, I'm serious about the Black Liberation Movement, Hebrew Nation, empowering my people. The Black Liberation Movement, Hebrew Nation, empowering my people. That's the conference that I feel that needs to be moving forward. And we need to be showing our presence together. You know what I'm saying? Just moving forward with the 1619 and Sister Freedom Jamestown and the song that I came up with. We want our land, check land. simple as that. Land, check, check, land. Boom, boom, land, check, check, land, over and over. I just think that somehow we're going to need to start showing our presence more. I understand that we go here June 17th, then I think June 21st at different places that many of us probably won't be at the same time. But I think that we need to really be consistent in starting some kind of movement and moving forward in the name of the 1619 and Sister Freedom Jamestown in land, check, check, land, check, land, check.
And the Black Panther Party.
You know what I'm saying? And the Black Panther Party, if they feel they want to make the move with the 1619. But I think in the article.
We are the 1619.
We are the
1619.
It's one and the same.
Okay, worry. Moving forward with that.
Ear check. Everybody always with the ear is with this. You feel me?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one and the same.
We need to be moving forward. I think that's worthy because I think we need to be really looking into moving, having a conference, and just moving from, you know, a little city to city, state to state, to show that we, you know, we're ready and we need to be organized. And I just feel that that needs to be done. We need to kind of set some days, find some physical places, you know what I'm saying, and just move
right
that way just as well. I just wanted to put that out because I'm not really a person just to sit on the radio or a phone. I'm not a phone person. I'm not really a person.
Neither are we, sis. Neither are we. We're actually disseminating action. So moving forward, June 17th in L.A. is the debut of our solutions. It's presenting youth program, state-of-the-art Web 3.0, so we're on the cutting edge. This is why Unity was sent to many of our people already, Unity Gaming App. I know this sounds foreign, but this is something that we are introducing to the masses. It has never been done before. We are not only going to make a change, but we are going to lead forward in artificial intelligence and virtual reality. So that's one sidebar. July 21st in the Bay Area. So that will include San Francisco and Oakland to work together with Bishop Williams while he's leading the charge up there to have a part two of what we started in June 17th of resolutions and solutions. And so our main purpose is to educate our people first and foremost to start being involved in reparations. That means tracing your lineage. That means if you are a descendant of slaves, you should be writing a synopsis, a one page of your family. That's why I say Black Lives Matter, even though they were the pimps of our black struggle, they were master organizers. And we got to take forth and organize on a daily basis. As we said, revolution is not a radio show for a couple of hours a week. It's not a meeting during the week. It is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week living spirit being. Either you're about it or you're just a spectator. And we got enough spectators in this sport. We all about doers. So that's where we at, and I'm so proud of us growing. But we got a lot of work to do. We still got a lot of our black people out there lost and not on code. So we up here to straighten that. And by October 16th, 2023, no reparations, no vote is going
to
be
To be just not doers of the word, to be doers of the word. Now listen,
and no
this is the word. This
no
is the Bible right here. This is the Bible right here. There's black people telling you on this program. Don't be just hearers of the word.
Be
doers. You feel me?
Black power there. Hey, since we don't have Marvin Gaye, I got the Sounds of Blackness, Reparations. How about that?
All right, take us out, sir.
Let me turn that joint up.
Here we go.
Right on. Sounds of Blackness Reparations. That should be the theme.
Sounds of Blackness. We are the Sounds of Blackness right here on Black Power Radio. Time
right
to take up Black Power.
Black Power. So we want to say we love y'all very much.
And thank you. That's what we need, though. That's what we're trying to hit to the youth. I think that's that platform, if they can get back, they want to know the whole. But when they listen to stuff like that, man, they can generate their brain differently. Are you a black? Huh.
Right on. So join us next week on Black Power Radio as we disseminate the anti-black hate crime bill, what that looks like. And if you want to know more information on the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, you could also log on to our website, newblackpantherparty.com. If you want to join or know more about the 1619 Rep Party and how to create an Article 5 in your neighborhood, remember, Article 5 is just a fancy way to say a group of people making things happen, changing laws. And so that's what our Article 5 is to have a governance specifically representing for the people, by the people, specifically descendants of slaves. You can log on to 1percentage.org. That's O-N-E. P-E-R-C-E-N-T-A-G-E, where 1% of your resources, time, and income into the black liberation for real, not just dialogue, but in action. As we get this land, check, land, and they're going to be cutting the check. So don't forget to really join our major movement in D.C. October 16th, 2023. We are so excited for the changes in the season, and we will keep you in tune. Concerning the task force, June 29th in Sacramento is the last day of their so-called deliberation concerning reparations started from AB 3121. But Black family, as we mentioned in previous shows, that doesn't matter what they decide because we're moving forth with a new governance once and for all. So with that being said, I'm the Minister of Justice, and I thank you and love each and every one of you, my Black queen, my Black king. Our young boys, our young girls, you are the reason why we are here. So let's continue to fight and be victorious and unify, and we'll make things happen. Peace and Black Power.
Yes.
Peace, Black Power.
Hey, why not leave them on that one, right? All right, Black Power, y'all. Love y'all.